Chapter 7. The street outside was nearly deserted. A mottled cat hissed loudly from underneath a parked car as Tyree made his way out into the street. On a nearby corner, a few people stood outside a liquor store smoking cigarettes. Further down the block, Tyree spotted a guy pumping gas at a self-service station. It was nearly 11 o'clock. Tyree had to rush to get to Muscle Man Jim on time. He started to jog, making sure the $20 bills in his pocket were secure. His fingers tingled as he got closer to the gym. Just a few more blocks and the gun would be his. Then he saw a black and white police car in the distance. It was coming directly towards him. For an instant, Tyree did not know what to do. If the police found him, they would surely take him home, and then his father would get him. Yet if he ran, the police would chase him, suspecting that he was running from a crime that he had just committed. Even if he tried to smooth-talk them, he would get in trouble for being out so late and breaking the city curfew for kids. They would also want to know why he had so much cash in his pocket at such a late hour. Tyree knew other kids in the neighborhood who were hassled by cops for much less. He knew he had to avoid the police. Darting into a small alley, Tyree ducked behind a rusted old van. He could hear the police car slowly approaching. When it was across from the alley where he was hiding, the cruiser stopped. A second later, a bright spotlight shined into the alley, casting long shadows. Tyree squatted down as the light moved back and forth. A dog in a nearby apartment started to bark. Tyree glanced at his watch. It was 11 o'clock. Pinned in the shadow of the van, Tyree began looking for a way out of the alley. The only path he could see was through someone's backyard. Fortunately, the van blocked the view of the small fenced yard. Tyree was sure the officers in the cruiser could not see him or his possible escape route. He listened closely and heard male voices from the police car, followed by the sound of a police radio. He had to move. Now. Bolting from behind the old van, Tyree grabbed the top of the shoulder-high fence and vaulted himself over it. In less than a second, he was in the unfamiliar backyard, stumbling over an old tire and some shrubs. The dog began to bark louder. Somewhere behind him, a light went on in an apartment window. Tyree jumped to his feet and sprinted around the house and into its front yard. Climbing over a metal fence, he rushed into the deserted street. Following shadows and dark alleys, Tyree raced towards the gym, leaving the police car blocks behind him. On the way home, he would have to be more careful. It was 6 minutes after 11 when Tyree arrived at the corner where two lanky trees scratched the sky. Muscle Man Jim was just ahead. Tyree's knees wobbled with nervous energy as he approached the familiar stucco building with the red neon sign. Tyree had been to the gym twice before, once a few years ago to watch his brother lift weights, and another time last summer when he was training for the Bluford football team. Those memories seemed distant now as he stood in the dark scanning the street for police cars. Glancing at the building, Tyree saw that the lights inside were off, and he suspected the small gym had closed hours ago. Careful not to make a sound, he crept into an adjacent alley and waited. He hoped he wasn't too late. A hazy mist hung in the air, distorting the distant streetlights. A dim halo encircled the amber moon, and no stars were visible. The night seemed strangely quiet as Tyree looked at his watch again. It was 11:10. The longer Tyree waited, the more nervous he became. Could the boy have lied to him? Tyree glanced up and down the alley looking for movement, but nothing happened. The minutes dragged by with an agonizing slowness. At 11:15, Tyree was about to get up and leave when he heard a voice from the darkness. "Down the alley, man," the voice said. It did not sound like the kid he had spoken to earlier, but that made sense, Tyree thought. That kid probably got someone else to handle the sale. As he walked down the alley alongside the gym, he still didn't see anyone. "Over here," another voice called out. "By the garbage dumpster." Tyree walked over to a rusty metal dumpster. Stacked against both sides of the container were dozens of glistening trash bags and dirty cardboard boxes. The air was heavy with the stench of rotting food and spilled beer. Tyree covered his nose at the putrid odor. Through the corner of his eye, he noticed a sudden movement. Two boys emerged from behind the dumpster, and a third came from a small doorway in the side of the building. Tyree turned in time to see a wooden stick being swung towards the back of his head. Crack! The sound rocketed through Tyree's skull, and he was sent sprawling into a metal trash can. Overwhelmed by pain, he collapsed into the pile of trash bags, placing both hands over his head. A large rat scuttled by his face. Dazed, Tyree heard several people whispering and then felt a pair of hands frantically searching his pockets. Within seconds, the voices were gone, and there was silence. For several long minutes, Tyree lay motionless as pain drove through his head. Slowly, he managed to sit upright. It was then that he noticed his hands were bloody. Carefully, he touched the painful knot where the stick hit him and discovered that he was bleeding. Alarmed, Tyree staggered to his feet. His head throbbed and he had to grab the wall of the gym to keep from falling down into the garbage again. Walking unsteadily away from the dumpster, Tyree reached into his pocket. It was empty. "My money!" he yelled, forgetting his pain. He looked where he had fallen, hoping to find his cash lying amidst the debris, but all he found was more garbage. "No!" he said, stomping down on a beer can in frustration, his head still throbbing. It was all a setup, he realized. The boy and his friends had lured him out just to rob him. It was as simple as that. Tyree closed his eyes and took three long, deep breaths. How could he have been so stupid? Now here he was, robbed and maybe even bleeding to death, and he had no one to blame but himself. "No!" Tyree yelled again hoarsely, kicking several trash bags until they ripped open, spilling garbage on the ground. Tyree slumped against a brick wall and grabbed his aching head. Every miserable event that happened in the last week and a half streamed through his mind. He relived his agony on the cafeteria floor, the lecture in the principal's office, the humiliation with Cedric Hodden, and now a robbery. Despair clawed at his chest as he made his way home. He felt like a laughingstock, a fool, and nothing he tried to do allowed him to escape the humiliation. Tyree felt trapped in a cold, dark tunnel with no way out. As he slowly neared his home, Tyree considered his options. He couldn't call the police, but he could return to Jupiter Street in the daylight and find the boy who had set him up. But he knew the kid would just deny what happened. "I looked for you, but you never came last night," he would say. Then he would probably laugh at Tyree like everybody else. "Why don't you call the police? Tell them cops you wanted to buy a cheap gun off of me and you got robbed instead. See how that flies," the boy would say. Tyree gave up that idea fast. He reached his house and went slowly up the stairs, exhausted and in pain. He knew he should see a doctor, but that was impossible. How could he explain to his father what he had been doing out on the street at that hour? When Dad got through with him, a cut on his head would be the least of his worries. Cautiously, he crept inside the house and tiptoed down the hallway to his room. He was grateful that his parents' bedroom door was closed as he stepped into his room. At least he would not have to deal with them. Silently, he pulled off his clothes and climbed into bed, careful not to brush his tender scalp. Staring into the blackness of his bedroom, Tyree wished he could just go to sleep and never wake up. It was not that he wanted to die. He just wanted to stop what was happening, yet he could see no end to it. The sadness Tyree fought pressed heavily on his chest. Everything he knew no longer seemed to work. Kids were not afraid, and he was unable to force his will on others. Worse was an overwhelming emotion Tyree tried to deny, one his father taught him was only for weaklings. It was a feeling Tyree had seen for years on the faces of skinny kids who needed teachers for protection. It was fear, and Tyree hated himself for feeling it. Turning his light on, Tyree grabbed a pen and a sheet of notebook paper. He wanted to speak to his brother, to get his advice, and to hear his voice. Quickly, he began drafting a letter. "Warren, I'm in trouble. You said I could talk to you about anything, so that's what I'm doing. There's a lot going on here at school and at home. Dad keeps pushing me, and I can't take it. But there's other stuff, too. I know if you were here, you'd understand. I'm trying to get myself out of a mess. I'm not sure what to do. I'm thinking about... Tyrae stopped and looked at his words. They seemed desperate, scratched into the lined paper in a messy scrawl. Frustrated, Tyrae crumpled the paper into a ball and tossed it into his trash can. There was only one way to get back the respect he lost. He had to beat everyone at their game. He had to get back at Rodney and Cedric and Len. But he would start with Darryl. It was the only way. If it was the last thing he did, Tyrae had to take Darryl down. Tyrae woke up the next morning with a fierce headache. His pillowcase was stained with dried blood from his head wound. With his bedroom door still closed, Tyrae yanked off the bloody pillowcase and buried it in his bedroom trash can. Luckily, the pillow itself was not stained, and Tyrae found a clean pillowcase so his mother wouldn't notice anything unusual. Taking a shower, Tyrae carefully washed the blood from his hair. He watched the rust-colored water pool briefly at his feet and then vanish down the drain. Tenderly, Tyrae touched the wound on the back of his head. There was a hard knot just above and behind his left ear. The lump contained a gash the size of his thumbnail. He was glad to discover that the cut was not deep and that it was nearly invisible under his hair. "Hi, honey," Mom said when Tyrae came to breakfast. He didn't have much of an appetite, but he decided to eat two pieces of toast so his parents wouldn't suspect anything unusual. His father was already finishing breakfast when Tyrae entered the kitchen.
"Got a big job today. Got a couple new guys starting today, too. I'm gonna need to work 'em extra hard 'cause we're under a deadline," Dad said menacingly, getting up from the table. "Contract says if we take too long, money gets deducted from our profits. I ain't about to let that happen," he added, looking over at Tyrae. "You studying so you can get some decent grades, boy? I don't ever want to see a report card like the last one you got."
"Yeah, I'm studying."
"You better keep your nose in them books," Dad snapped. "You gotta get yourself out of this house one day and make a life of your own, and you can't do it by bringing home C's and D's."
Tyrae struggled not to roll his eyes at his father's words. Every once in a while, his father got on his case about school. To Tyrae, it was not that his father valued school. It seemed more that he just wanted another reason to yell at him.
"I'm gonna make some changes," Tyrae said. "You'll see." "You better, boy," Dad said, grabbing his jacket and heading out the door.
Tyrae cursed under his breath and headed off to school.